And we're hoping on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, the seventh line. We've been discussing the question based on the Mishnah had told us that if a man is Makadish a woman, Almanas, on the condition that she has no Nedarim in effect, and it turns out that she does, then it would be Kedusha Tos, and she's not Makudeshus. Then the Mishnah had said a case where he marries her Stam, and it turns out she has Nedarim, then Taita Shalai B'Ksuba, then she can be divorced without a Ksuba. And we're discussing, is that one continuous case, say he was Makadish her with the T'nai, and then when he married her, he didn't reiterate that the T'nai is still in effect, or are they two separate cases where the second one is where there is no T'nai at all, but we would assume that he doesn't want to marry a woman who has Nedarim. So we discussed the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel in that connection. And in the course of that, we talked about that if he's Makadish al T'nai, and then he later on he marries her and has relations with her, then we said we can understand that we can say that then Rav and Shmuel are in fact not arguing. And they would say that you don't need a get at all. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, it was said also, Amar of Achava Yaakov, Amar of Yechon, Hamakadish al Tanayo Bal, Divrei Hakol Einet Tzuchei Menu Get, that, in that case, everybody would agree that she does not need a get from him. The word Divrei Hakol over here, by the way, is in brackets, because there are two different ways of understanding. One is that he is in fact talking according to both Rav and Shmuel. The other way, without the word Divrei Hakol, it would just be that he's agreeing with one of the Amoraim before. We had various ways of understanding the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel before, of which one of them was that Rav would say she needs a get because we would assume he was Mofa on his T'nai. And Shmuel would say that not. So then the possibility is that maybe Rabbi Yochanan is talking only according to Rav. So the Gemara says, Eisfer of Acha Breder of Ikka Bar Achse. So now, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov had said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but now Rav Acha Breder of Ikka, who was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's nephew, pointed out a contradiction to him within Rabbi Yochanan's statements himself. So we just said that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if he's Makadish Atznai, and then later on he has relations with her, then we say that, then... Good morning, Ali. Actually, was I heard until now? Okay. I hope so. Anyway. Oops. Okay. Okay, some technical issues here. Okay, here we go. Okay. Where were we? So again, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that if he's Makadish al Tanai or Baal, so he was Makadish to begin with al Tanai, for example, that she has no Nedarim. Now, later on, he was Baal. So now, Rabbi Yochanan is saying she doesn't need a get because we would say that that we assume that he's still following his original T'nai, and therefore that she shouldn't need a get. So again, actually, as I said it wrongly before, we could say that Rabbi Yochanan is going to point to both Rav and Shmuel if we understand their machlokas as the Gemara had talked about yesterday, that it's only, that the machlokas is only in certain cases, only where there's shtei noshim involved, but not isha achas. Then we said she doesn't need a get. On the other hand, maybe Rabbi Yochanan is not understanding the machlokas that way, and therefore what he's saying is only according to Shmuel, which, by the way, has a nach min al halacha, because the halacha in the end is going to be like Rav. If we say that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with both Rav and Shmuel, then that's going to be the halacha. If we say that he's holding only like Shmuel, then not necessarily. Esfer of Acha Breder of Ikka Bar Achse. So Rav Acha Breder of Ikka, who was the nephew of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, asked his uncle a question. You're telling me Rav Yochanan says, I'm a Kaddish al Tanai or Baal, then she doesn't need a get. So that means, in other words, Rav Yochanan is saying that once the T'nai was in effect at the beginning by the Kiddushin, then it remains in effect even after he had relations. So we see, in other words, that so even though he did a Maisa, he went and actually had relations with her, we don't say he undid his T'nai, and maybe he's doing a new Kiddushin or something. We say the T'nai is still in effect. but we seem to have a contradiction that Rabbi Yochanan himself says differently in a different context. We learned in Yevamos, chalitza mutas kshera, a chalitza that was done under false premises is still kosher. Ezri chalitza mutas, and what do we mean by chalitza mutas? Amar Reish Lakish, kosher oimer like chalitza v'kachat ha-koinza. If we tell the Yavam, do chalitza, and that is how you're going to marry her. So we're talking about the situation is that, for whatever reason, it's not good for her to be marrying this guy, but he's insisting, I'm the Yavam, I have the right up the Torah to do Yavam. So what do? Says Reish Lakish, we mislead him based in, we'll tell him, let's say the guy is an Amoritz and we're able to get away with this, that you do chalitza. And then with that will be, you should know, for Yibum, that is how it's accomplished, is by her taking off your shoe. Then, after the chalitza is done, then we tell him, I'm sorry, chalitza has been done, and you're also to marry her. So that would be chalitza mutas. But, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, no, that doesn't work. Ani shoyne, I learn that ben shneskaven huvel and iskavnehi, whether he had in mind to do chalitza, and she didn't have in mind that it was chalitza, she thought it was something else. Ben shneskavnehi v'lo niskavnehu, or the other way around, like the case that you just described, where she has in mind to do chalitza, but he doesn't. Chalitzasa psula, either way, the chalitza would be posel. Now, posel doesn't mean that it's not a chalitza at all. As we learned in Yevamos, once a chalitza is done, even if it's a chalitza psula, means that she's going to be also to marry him in the future, means that any of her tsaris would be also to marry him, and so forth. All it means, though, is, in other words, we're going to have a chalitza ksheira done in order for her to be able to be married. So, ad she skavnu shnehem. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's only a chalitza ksheira, and his master who to marry somebody else, only if both of them have in mind. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Reish Lakish, what good is it going to do to mislead the guy? The fact is, okay, it'll prevent him from doing Yibum, but it's also going to leave her stuck. So you, Rabbi Yochanan, are saying that the chalitza is kosher. That doesn't work. So Rabbi Yochanan says, to explain, this is all part of her Achabreidah of Ikka's question. Once we go through all of that, then we'll see how that is relevant to our sugya. So Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Sha'omaloi Chalitzla Amanasha Titnulach Masayim Zuz. A chalitza mutas would be if we tell him do chalitza for her on condition that she will give you 200 zuz, and then in the end he does the chalitza, and then she doesn't give him the 200 zuz. Now why would that be kosher? Alma. So we see from that, given the Ovid Maisa, evidently that Rabbi Yochanan holds, once he does the Maisa, once he does the actual action of Chalitza, Achulei Achulei V'tnai, then evidently he's Moichel on his original Tnai, and therefore the Chalitza is kosher, and if the 200 Zuz isn't given, that doesn't change anything.
Hochanami. But openly we're teaching that it's okay to lie.
We're not teaching him it's okay to lie, but in this kind of case, we're explaining to him afterwards that, you know what, you didn't want to do chalitza, you insisted on doing yibum, or maybe even you insisted on doing nothing at all, and we needed to do something for your poor sister-in-law. Same thing as any other case where we lie with Nedar Hashalim, right? I mean, you know, obviously we want to be careful not to do it too often, but extreme situations call for extreme measures, sure. So Hochanami. So the same thing, shouldn't you say, in our case over here? Again, he was Makadish her al Tnai, but now he went and married her and had relations with her, and he didn't reiterate the Tnai at the time. Which Tosfos points out that may be. The Gemara is thinking that maybe the Gemara, the Makshin and the Gemara is thinking that maybe if you make a Tnai, then if you make a Tnai in any case in Halacha, for example, a Tnai is valid, let's say in the case of a business transaction also, maybe when you're doing the actual Maisa, you would have to reiterate the Tnai. And if not, then you would say, maybe he was Mochel the Tnai. So Acholei Acholei the Tnai. Maybe we should say he was moichel on the Tanai, and therefore that the marriage should be valid, and therefore get should be required. Which was, we were saying before, that was what Rav was saying. So again, we have the possibility that maybe both Rav and Shmuel would agree in the earlier part of the sugya that you don't need a get in this case, because maybe the machlokes between them was only in certain specific cases where we have reason to have a suffix whether his Tanai is in effect here or not. but not when we have good reason to think that maybe his tznai is still in effect, in which case Rabbi Yochanan would be agreeing with both of them. Or the other possibility is maybe Rabbi Yochanan learns their machloikas differently, and therefore it comes out that he's holding only a point Shmuel. Anyway, so again, but Rabbi Yochanan here was saying, Rabbi Acha by Yaakov quotes Rabbi Yochanan as saying that Einat Tzricha Hemenu Get, but in the case that we're talking about involving Chalitza, we see that once he does a Maisa, we assume he was Moichel on his Tanai, and therefore Get should be needed. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to be contradicting himself. Omalei, sort of Acha by Yaakov, the uncle, says, Bar Be Rav, the young Talmud Chacham, he's speaking to his nephew, Shaper Ta'amr, do you think you're saying correctly? Do you think that's a good question? When Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the case of Chalitza, that the Tznai is ineffective, it's not because he made a Tznai and now we assume he's Moichole. It's rather because he would say a Tznai doesn't work for Chalitza in the first place. Mechli, because after all, says Rav Acha by Yaakov, kol Tznai Mehecha Gaminan, where Bechlal do we learn the whole concept that you can make a tnai for anything? Where do we have the concept that you can make a tnai, and if this happens, then such and such will take place, and if not, then not? We learn all of that. Tnai b'nei God or b'nei Reuven. We learn it from the tnai of b'nei God and b'nei Reuven that's described in Parshas Matos. So b'nei Reuven and b'nei God want land in Avraham Yagin, so they go to Moshe and ask him. And Moshe, after all the back and forth, Moshe tells them. They say it's not that we're afraid of helping to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But we'll gladly help and conquer Eretz Yisrael. We just afterwards want this land for ourselves. So they make an official tnai. Moshe speaks to the Nesiim and the Shvatim. He tells them, "Im Yavru b'nei God u'b'nei Reuven itchem, if b'nei Reuven and b'nei God cross the Yarden with you and they help to conquer Eretz Yisrael, then give them this land in Avra Yarden, and if not, then they'll have land among you just in Eretz Yisrael proper." So from there, as we learn the concept of a tnai, and there we learn the rules of tnaiim as well. We're going to learn about them in great length in Kedushin next year or so, Be'ez Hashem, but we learn from that, for example, that the tnai has to be repeated. We learn that they have to have hein kodem v'lav, that it has to be that the yes part comes before the no part. There's several rules of tnai. So now, one of them is, let's consider what happened with Bnei God and Bnei Reuben. There it was possible to accomplish it through a shliach, because in fact Moshe himself wasn't going to be giving them the land, because Moshe himself was going to pass away before that. So he was delegating to Yeshua that you're going to act as my shliach. When the time comes, you're going to tell Bnei Reuben and Bnei God that they're entitled to take over this land after they've helped conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael. So when you have something that can be accomplished through a shliach, have it tznai tznai, have it tznai tznai, then the tznai is a valid tznai. Deloy efshel kayumay ages shliach ki hosam, but when it's something unlike there that cannot be done through a shliach, loy have it tznai, then the tznai is not a tznai to begin with. Now, a chalitza can't be done through a shliach, so a tznai is also not effective with it. Now, therefore, when we tell them to begin with, you do a chalitza al manas, which is a tnai that shall give you 200 zuz, to begin with, that tnai is not even chal. In other words, sometimes we have a person thinks that he made a tnai, but it's actually not a valid tnai api alafa. If we have, again, you have these various rules of tnoyim that are described in detail in the Sefta Kedushin, and they're discussed here and there in other places throughout Shas. So for example, you could have, let's say, for example, the first rule of tnoyim we said is that it has to be tnai kofel, it has to be a double tnai. So you say, for example, a man is makadish a woman, let's say, if for example, he would say, have acted progressively, I'll manas that you're going to give me 200 zuz, or im tikni masayim zuz, and then if you don't give me the 200 zuz, then you won't be makodeshes. So let's say he doesn't repeat that second part. The tnai is ineffective. So therefore, the kedushin are going to be chal, even if she doesn't give him the 200 zuz afterwards. It will be chal because there's no tnai. So in other words, there can be cases where a person thinks he made a tnai, and it turns out that he didn't. So the same thing over here. He thinks that he made a tnai. I'm doing chalitza only on Manas, that she's going to give me 200 zuz. But in the end, there's no tnai because this is one of those things that can't be done through a shliach, and therefore tnai is ineffective on it. So that is why Rabbi Yochanan says in the case of chalitza that she doesn't have to give him the 200. Not because we say that once he did the maisa of chalitza, he's undoing his tnai, because there was no tnai here in the first place. Now, what's the logic? What's the underlying logic? What should one have to do with the other? When you can do it through a shliach, then you can make a tnai, and when not, then not. So Tosfos says, the svara is that when something is so much biyada, something is so much under your control, that you're even able to delegate it to a shliach, then we can say you also have enough control over it to make a tnai over it. But since chalitza, you can't do through a shliach, and other examples where you can't do it through a shliach, then it means, in other words, your control over that maisa is much weaker. Therefore, you don't have the ability to come up with a tnai on it. And then there's an explanation from I think the Ritva that says almost the other way around, that something that you can't do through a shliach is stronger. In other words, it's a stronger kind of maisa, and therefore even a tnai can't uproot it. Whatever the case, the point is that so now.
The positive, he's actually doing the
maisa. That's what we're saying. He's doing the maisa. That's what we're saying. But so that's the thing. Rav Acha bar Yaakov had said that Rav Yochanan was saying that again when he was mekadesh al tnai, later on he did a maisa. Then we say that the maisa doesn't override the tnai, and therefore the tnai is still in effect, and therefore she doesn't need a get. So now Rav Acha Breder of Ikka is asking, isn't he saying in the case of chalitza that once the maisa is done, he seems to have been moichel on his tnai? Why don't we say that over here? Why don't we say that he was moichel on his tnai, and we assume, like we learned in the Gemara before, that ein adam osa bilasa bilasnos, and he's doing a new kedushin without a tnai or something? And the answer is because no, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of that concept. He doesn't hold that when he does the maisa, he's undoing the tnai. In the case of chalitza, there was no tnai in the first place. But when a chalitza can be when a tnai can be in effect, as in the case of kiddushin, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that al das kiddushin or rishonim huboil, he's not doing a new kiddushin now with the bi'ila, rather he's doing a continuation of before. And before it was based on the tnai, and therefore the tnai is still in effect. By the way, when we're saying over here that a tnai is not effective by chalitza, Tosfos brings from a different Gemara elsewhere, where Ravina seems to say that a tnai is effective by chalitza. But Tosfos says, I mean, throughout Shas, we always take it as a given that ain't tnai b'chalitza. How is Ravina all of a sudden arguing on that? I mean, he's an Amori, he's able to argue, but someplace else in Shas it should come up, no? So Tosfos says no. What it means is, in other words, Ravina would say that there's still the tnai is still effective to the extent that now she would need a get from him midrabanan, because the chalitza doesn't take away the zika entirely. So there was a considerable amount of discussion among the Rishonim and Achronim on the ins and outs of that. Is a tnai, in fact, ever valid in chalitza? Does it prevent chalitza fully from taking place? Like Tosfos says, is it maybe that we're talking over here only according to Rabbi Yochanan, but maybe in fact the halacha would be that a tnai is effective by chalitza? So there's a good deal of discussion about the ins and outs of that. Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, so if you're telling me that's the rule, any time that a maisa cannot be done through a shliach, then you can't make a tnai on it. What about the habia? What about kedushay bia? There loy etchel kayumay ayde shliach kihosam. There you can't accomplish it through a shliach the way that Moshe was able to delegate the giving of land to Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad over there, but kahavitzna. And nevertheless, we still say it is possible to have a tnai by kedushay bia. We learned earlier in the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis that you can have a case where a man is makadish a woman through bia, and he says, "I'm manas that my father agrees." And we had a machlokes whether what happens if the father didn't say anything, does that he agrees means that he has to say yes, or does it just mean that he doesn't say no, whatever the case, but the basic idea that a tnai is valid by kedushay bia is a given. So why? Kedushay bia can't be accomplished through a shliach.
but it's not a shlichah doing himself.
That's the point. In other words, when it comes to kedusha kester for kedusha shtar, you can do it yourself or you can do it through a shliach. When it comes to a man is giving a woman kedusha kester, he can give her the kester himself, the pruter, the shavu pruter, or he can send it through a shliach. Shtar, the same thing. But bia, by definition, not. He has to do it himself. So kedusha bia can't be delegated to a shliach, and we still say that a tnai is in effect. So you see that with something being done or not being able to be done by a shliach has nothing to do with a tnai. The answer is, the answer is yes, but the reason is because we have a hekesh between the pasuk tells us the yotzav v'hoysal the ish acher, and from that we learn the concept of kiddushin. We learn, in fact, from there, for example, that we say, for example, that since it says v'yotza and then v'hoysa, so we learn that just like she can be divorced through a shtar, the same, she has to be divorced through a shtar, it's the only way, the same way she can be niskadish through a shtar, and then, since it says v'hoysa v'ishanta, so it means any of the havayas, any of the methods of kedushin are all on an equal level. So once we say that a tnai is valid by kedusha kesef and kedusha shtar, which they have to be because they can be done through a shliach, then therefore also kedusha bia can have a tnai attached to it, even though unlike them it can't be done through a shliach. The logic behind it, Pnei Yeshua says essentially, is you have to kind of break it down. You have kedushin, and then you have the kedushin is being accomplished through bia. Kedushin as a whole, we're saying over here, can be accomplished with a tnai. Therefore, even though this particular method that's being used, bia, cannot be done through a shliach, nevertheless, we sort of separate that from the actual, from the fact that kedushin is being done, and we say, therefore, tnai is effective for this bia to be a bia of kedushin versus not.
Only if there was kedushin before?
No, so kedusha bia are valid all by themselves. Later on, the Rabbanim will say you shouldn't be mekadesh with kedusha bia, it's pritzah skip, right. Whatever, but yeah. On a daraisa level, kedusha bia are valid. Meaning, in other words, we're talking about, so he says to her, let's have, I'm going to be mekadesh with bia, and then they have avim that they're going into a room together, and of course, whatever happens after that is in private between the two of them. But the point is, even though, unlike kesef and shtar, that can't be done through a shliach, still we say that a tnai is valid on it. Why? Because a tnai is valid on the other methods of kedushin, and therefore it is on this one also, because of the hekesh of the word v'hoysa, which equates all different types of kedushin. So other than that, the general rule applies that if a maisa can't be done through a shliach, then you can't put a tnai on it either. Therefore, that brings us back to chalitza, which can't be done through a shliach, then you can't attach a tnai to it. On the other hand, kedushin, any kind of kedushin, you can attach a tnai to, and anything else that you can delegate to a shliach, you can also attach a tnai to, and we don't say, Rabbi Yechanan is saying, achule achle v'tnoi, we don't say there was moichel on his tnai, which was one way that we had which was one possible way we had of understanding Rav's Shita before. Rather, we would say that he's still doing Aldas Kedushin Rishon. Okay.
So right now it's a question.
So that's it. So we've answered Rav Yechanan. So we've answered Rav Yechanan. So now he's not contradicting himself. He's saying that because they can be done through a shliach, any kind of kedushin, therefore tnai is in effect. We don't say that he undid his tnai. We say that he undid his tnai. We say that he's still doing aldas kedushin or rishonim. So therefore, if it comes out that, for example, so he made a tnai, she shouldn't have nedarim. It comes out that there were nedarim. Then the fact that later on, so now he did, now we're talking about, in Rabbi Yochanan's case, we're talking about the original kedushin was done with some other method, kesef or shtar. Now he's marrying her and doing de'ilah with her. According to Rav before, we thought at the beginning of the sugya, Abaye had said, it's not that Rav says he's moichel on his tnai, it's rather because einonim osa be'ilasa be'ilas snus, so he's going to do a new, so when he does the be'ilah, he's having in mind for it to be a new kedushin. And then he said that Shmuel says that not, and we discussed all the ins and outs of that. So now Rabbi Yochanan is saying that no, we say it's still based on the original tnai. So now, if it turns out that the tnai is, so the tnai is still in effect, if it turns out that she has nedarim, then it turns out that the ila was in fact the ila snus, but she doesn't need a get. Because the original tnai was that she shouldn't have nedarim, and it turns out she has nedarim. So the Gemara continues on this in this vein. Omer of Ula Ba'aba, Omer Ula, Omer of Elazar, Hamakadosh B'milve Ubal. Now we have a number of cases where you have a kedushin that he thought was a valid kedushin, and it turns out it's possible. So one of them is he's Makadosh B'milve. So he had previously lent her money. So she owes him money, and now he's saying, I want to use that money that I previously gave you for the loan, and I want to be Makadosh with you. Now you can't do that because Milva Lahitzah Nitna, once you lend somebody money, it's right away available for spending. So therefore, because that's what you do with a Milva, you spend it and eventually you pay it back. So therefore, so he's not giving her anything right now. Tosfos actually points out that we're going to learn Kedushin. We're going to learn about a year from now, Beis Hashem, when we get to this, that there are certain cases where it is possible to be Mekadosh with something involving a milva. There can be Mechilas, there can be Hanas, Mechilas milva, whatever, but
knowing that
the enjoyment of knowing that he forgave her the loan. So yeah, but the point is, but let's say, for example, if he says to her quite clearly, be Mekudish to me with the money of the milva that you owe me, then for sure that doesn't work. He's not giving her anything at the time, and he's not actually saying, I'm being moichel the milva.
If he says, I'm being moichel,
then we can talk about that. Then there are cases where it would work, yeah. Anyway, so if he's Mekadosh the milva, or both, later on he has relations with her in order to consummate the marriage. Again, the question is going to be, do we say, and therefore it means that what he's going to do is, in case the original kedushin was invalid, then he's doing a new kedushin with this bia, or not. So would she need a get? Similarly, al tnai ubal. Similarly, all about Abba says, if he was Mekadosh or al tnai, like we've been talking about throughout the sugya, he was Mekadosh, for example, al tnai, but she doesn't have an endodim, or ubal, and then he had relations with her. Or Bapakas Meshava Pruta Obal. Or a third possible case would be where he was Makadisha with less than a Shava Pruta, and then he had relations with her. So again, the Kedushin, the original Kedushin itself, was no good, of course, because it's less than a Shava Pruta. So therefore, so now, when he's Boyal, does he have in mind to do a new Kedushin with this Be'ila, or is it just Aldas Kedushin or Shrein? So in all those cases, Divrei Hakol Tzricha Himenu Get, then everybody would agree that she needs a get from him. Again, we can be saying, like before, do we mean Divrei Hakel according to both Rav and Shmuel, or maybe did the word Divrei Hakel not belong over here, and it would mean that he's talking maybe only according to Shmuel and not according to Rav. Which again is Negei of Halacha, because in the end, the Halacha is going to be like what Ula is going to say over here, because this is the Maskana of the Gemara. So therefore, so we're going to have to figure out who he's talking according to. Is he talking according to Rav, or is he talking according to Shmuel only, or is he talking according to Rav and Shmuel? Anyway, so Divrei Hakel Tzricha Himenu Get. So everybody would agree that she needs a get from him. So actually, rather, I said that wrongly. So we could say that that's according to both Rav and Shmuel, or we could say that because, in other words, Tosfos explains that he could be saying that Rav and Shmuel's machlokas before did not involve, all this time, we assume that Rav and Shmuel were talking about, we actually did Be'ila with her, and the question was whether that Be'ila was done with having in mind in order not to make a Be'ila snus. Now we can understand differently, maybe. Rav and Shmuel might be having their machlokas only when he married her, in the sense he brought her into the chuppah, but they didn't actually do Be'ila yet. So now, Rav would be saying, once they're going as far as the chuppah, then we assume he was moichel on a tznai, and Shmuel would be saying, not necessarily. So therefore, so now, Rav Ula would be coming and saying that if we have the words Divrei Hakel on the Gemara over here, then he'd be saying that if there was only chuppah and not yet Bia Rishona, then we would be, and not yet be Ilas Mitzvah, then we would say that that's when Rav and Shmuel are arguing whether you need a get or not. Right. But once he was boil, then we would say, Divrei Hakel Tzricha Himenu Get. That's one way of understanding it. Again, if we take out the word Divrei Hakel, then it would mean he's going only according to Rav, and that Shmuel, in fact, is disagreeing with it. So there are implications about that lahalacha. One interesting implication, actually, that the Beis Shmuel talks about in one of the major Noisei Kalim on Evan Ezer, talks about the possibility, according to that, then, you might, now we know, of course, you need Edim for Kedushin. Do you need Edim for Nisuin? on the face of it, why should you? Once the Erusin, once the Kedushin have already been accomplished, we know she's already an Eish HaSish. Why we need Kedushin, or why we need Edim for the Chuppah, for the Nisuin? But based on this that we're saying, that sometimes you could have a Tanai, which then later on we have to know whether that Tanai was taken away, and what's going on during the Chuppah and during the Bia, maybe we should need Edim for that as well. That is why we make sure, in keeping with that, we have Edim not only by under the chuppah, we also have Edim for when they go into the yichud room. So the Avni Milori Maki Tzoysa Choshen wrote a pir. Tzoysa Choshen is famous for his pirush on Choshen Mishpah, which is called Tzoysa Choshen, but he wrote other svarim as well, one of them being a pirush on Eben Ezer called Avni Milori. He says maybe not necessarily. Maybe everybody would agree that you need Edim for, he says that maybe everybody would agree, even regardless of this machloikus, that everybody would agree you need Edim for Nisuin anyway, because after all, Nisuin does change her status as far as certain halachas. We learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, that when she's in Arusa, if she's Mazana, she has one type of Nisa, and after Nisuin, she has a different type. So therefore, maybe you need Edim for that kind of change of status anyway, independent of this Machloikus. The base Shmuel says it might depend on this Machloikus over here. Anyway. So Ula is saying that she needed a get in all these cases. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Nachum, Amar Rabbi Ami, it depends. There's a difference between these things. Hamakadosh pachim shavu proto boal tzricha himenu get. Sure, if he's makadosh with less than a shavu proto, and then he later on has relations with her, yes, she needs a get because b'chohu deloy toy. Because that kind of thing, it's not so, there's no reason to think that he's going to make a mistake. How could he think that less than a shavu proto is going to be a valid kedusha? So therefore, we can assume that by the time he came to marry her and have Be'ila with her, he realized that, and therefore, when he does the Be'ila, ain't on a Moshe Be'ila, so Be'ila Snus, and therefore he's having in mind that it should be as a new Kedushin.
When you're doing this first step, you need witnesses?
You need witnesses for the first step, yes. You always need witnesses for Kedushin.
Three of them, they know you need the
first of all, witnesses is, well, witnesses too. Well, you're saying between the two of them and the Chosin? Yeah, but what if they didn't realize whether this thing is worth a Shavu Proto or not? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, plastic rings or whatever, yeah. So again, we had Rav Ula saying that all these three cases are the same. On the other hand, Rav Yosef Ba'aba is saying that, no, there's a difference between them. When it comes to Shavu Proto, Bahohu Deloi Toi. When it comes to that, he's not going to make a mistake. Ultimately, he's going to realize that less than a shavu proto is not a valid kedushin. Aval bahanach, but when it comes to the other two cases, the milver or al tnai, then bahanach toy, with those, it's very possible that his mistake might persist. He might really think that it was a valid kedushin, and therefore, when he does be'ila, he's not thinking of a new kedushin. He's just continuing from what he did before. And since it was not a valid kedushin, because there was a tnai that wasn't fulfilled, or because it was the milvan, therefore that there wasn't a kedushin in the first place, then therefore she wouldn't need again. Right. So therefore we consider it bilasnus. Right. Omer of Kahana Mishmei de Ula. So Rav Kahana says in the name of Ula further on this topic, Hamakadosh al tnai or bot sricha imenu get. No, as a matter of fact, if he's Makadosh al tnai and he has relations, she will need a get from him. Because after all, we have to be concerned that maybe when he was boyo, he did have in mind to do a new tradition all over again. And in fact, it doesn't matter whether we ask him, what he says now is not necessarily going to be what his frame of mind was at the time. And in fact, Rav Kahana says, such a case actually happened. The Chachamim did not have the strength to take her out without a get. In other words, because we can't be certain that he wasn't the Kaddish again with the Be'ila, and therefore that she'd be considered an Eish HaSish. Which, the Gemara says, which by Rav Kahana telling us that, he wants to tell us as opposed to the following Tana. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says about a soita, v'hi lo nisfasa, she was not grabbed, she was not violated, meaning that the pasuk is describing over there where we have reason to think that she was mizana, and therefore we start the whole process of a soita. So the pasuk is v'hi lo nisfasa, and the implication is asura. She is also in that case because she wasn't grabbed, because she wasn't raped. Implying, ha nisfasa muteris, implying if she had been raped, then she'd be mutter to her husband, unless her husband's a kohen. We learned this earlier in the Masechta. But the Rabbi Shmuel continues.
This is it would do it, but
so the context is talking about a soita. So in other words, so what are we talking about? A husband has reason to suspect that his wife was with some other man. If it was in the case where it was loy nispasa, where she wasn't raped, where in other words it was with her consent, then that's when, if he previously warned her, then that's when we would start the whole thing of the soita. But if nispasa, if one day somebody grabbed a hold of her and raped her, even though he had previously warned her, altisasri nishpani, she's not going to be a soita because she didn't voluntarily go into stira with this guy. So, but Rabbi Shmuel continues, the yesh lacha acheres sha'af apishal nisposa muteres. Now, says Rabbi Shmuel, I can find you another case of a woman who was loy nisposa. It was consensual, and yet she's going to be mutter to remarry. She's not going to need a get from the man that she was married to. The ezu, and what would be the case? Zusha kedushah kedushik tos. That would be where the kedushin to begin with was based on a tos. So, for example, we're talking about throughout our sugya, he was Makadisher, Almanas, that she doesn't have Nidorim, and it turns out that she has Nidorim. So now, not only was the Kedushin invalid, but even Shafilu Bnom Murkav Aksefa, even if she already has a son she's carrying on her shoulders, so they've already been married a long time, and everybody thought that they were legally married, nevertheless, Mama Enes Vahilachasla, she can still do Miun and go out. Doesn't even really need Miun. We're not talking about Tana, where she has to make a formal declaration of Miun, I don't want to be married to this guy anymore. We just mean, in other words, the marriage can be dissolved at any time because the original Kedushin was done based on a toast. Because he thought she had no Nidorim, and it turns out she has Nidorim, or whatever the Tanai was.
He would say, I'm Michael the
Tanai. If he said I was Michael the Tanai, that's different. But we're talking about over here that he never said that. So again, then what we say is, we don't say that when they first had relations, at that point he was Michael on his Tanai, and he wants to do a new Kedushin with the Bia in order that it shouldn't be Bielasa Bielasnus. Rabbi Shmuel is saying no such thing. So even we find out years later, after she already has a kid, that it was Kedushe Tos, then nevertheless, the marriage is dissolved as if it never existed. And that's what, and he says, that's the pasuk is implying, that he loy nisposa, that there can be a case where loy nisposa, and she's still mutter to marry somebody else. So we see that he says, in other words, that there's no, we say, we don't care about bilose bilasnus, we don't say he was mutter on us tonight, we don't say he did a new Kedushin, none of that. So on the other hand, Rav Kahana is telling us that such a case happened, and the Chachamim did not have the ability to say that she's just free to go. They required her to get a get, and that was not like Tana Dveda Bishmal. Tana Dveda Bishmal would have said that she could go free without a get. Tosfos, by the way, has a long discussion over here about there might be a difference in that regard between. There might be a difference in that regard between the Kedushin of Katana versus here we're talking about a Dola where it was under mistaken premises, where you might say with a Katana she does actually, a Katana needs Miun, of course, and it's also considered that the marriage is undone as if it never existed, but still Tosfos draws a distinction that there at least she needs Miun. In the case we're talking about, she may not even need that, and Tosfos gets into a considerable discussion about the ins and outs of all that. Anyway, turn it up on him. Okay, so the bottom line is, so we have several different opinions on the subject of Kedushei Tos. Lamaskana, the halacha is, again, we were saying there are two different ways of learning based on the sugya what the halacha is. In other words, do we end up saying that if there was Be'ila, that he was Moichel on his original Tanai and does another Be'ila with intention to be Mekadosh, or do we maybe say that still not? So that's gonna affect the halacha of what happens in that case. Does she need a get or not?
So the halacha, we know the halacha is not for Rabbi Shmuel, or?
So now in the end, we'll say halacha is definitely not like Rabbi Shmuel, but would we say maybe she may need a get and suffer, but.
Right.
So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Hocha Eitzo Chocham V'Hitira. Now, again, let's go back to the Mishnah. We said the man was Mekadosh the woman, Amanas, that she doesn't have Nedarim. It turns out that she has Nedarim. What about if she went to a Chocham and he was Matir B'Nedar? Mekudeshes, so then she's valid, so then the Kedushin are valid. Eitzo Roifet V'Ripa Oisa, but on the other hand, if, on the other hand, the other case in the Mishnah we had, where he was Mekadosher, having in mind that she doesn't have Mumim, and it turns out she has Mumim, so then we said also the Kedushin is no good, but if she went to a doctor in between, V'Ripa Oisa, and the doctor healed her from the Mumim, Eina Mekudeshes, and the Kedushin are still not valid. So ma ben chacham the roife, what's the difference? Chacham oikra is a neder meikroi, because when a chacham takes away the neder, he takes it away as if it never existed. Because how does it work? How does that Torah's Nedarim work? You find a Pesach, or you find Charata. You say, do you regret that you made this neder? Or you say, or you find a Pesach, did you realize this consequence of the neder? And if you had realized that consequence, would you have made the neder? So once the person says no, then therefore we take away the neder as if it never existed. So therefore it can't be considered a neder. So retroactively, it turns out there was no neder at the time of Kiddushin. As opposed to a doctor only heals her from now on. So therefore, in other words, at the time of the Tanai, she had the moment. Tosfos actually points out that Tosfos explains like this. With Nedarim, if we said that the, what it is like this. With Mumim, it's true she doesn't have the Mumim anymore. Nevertheless, the husband knew about those mumim beforehand, and therefore he still may find her repulsive, that I know she used to have those mumim, and I can't get my mind off them. So therefore, that's why we say that therefore, on the other hand, with the chacham, if we were to say that were only the oik of the neder, mikan al abba, he'd still be concerned. Okay, but what about all the time, from when she made the neder until she was matir, that neder was in effect, and therefore there'd be punishment in Hashemayim, as we learned the other day, children might die because of it, chas v'shalom. So what?
Because she
made the neder and didn't fulfill. So therefore, in other words, so that's why we need to be saying over here that the chacham takes it away. But Tosfos says even then that would only be if she was matir the nedarim before the husband ever knew about them. So he made a tnai that she doesn't have nedarim. He didn't know at the time that she had nedarim. Before he had a chance to find out, she went and was matir neder. So now the fact that the chacham is oikra and neder meikra helps us, and now the kedushin are valid. Had we said the chacham is matter and only mikan al abba, then we would still say that it would be a problem. And Tosfos is saying, if the husband knew about these nedarim, then even the fact that the chacham is oikra and neder meikra doesn't help us. Because he knew about it, so therefore it's similar to him knowing about mumim and thinking that it's still going to have long-term effects.
Yeah, but if he knew, then why is he continuing marriage?
So he knew that... He knew that she had nedarim. Then he knew that she at one point made a neder. Now she was matir neder. So now the question is he moichel on a snai or is he not moichel on a snai? Does he still say yef she beish nadronis that I don't want a woman who makes nedarim? And
that he found out earlier, and he still continues living with her.
No, the question still is whether the question is whether the kedushin are still in effect. Forget about, let's say they haven't done chuppah and they haven't done bia yet. The question is whether she's an eishes eish at this point. Yeah. Yeah, the really fair is only Minapa, yeah, and kind of my body.
But if somebody develops some kind of illness and now the doctor comes and discovers the reason for it, not treating the symptoms, but the reason it came about.
Okay, but nevertheless, she had a mum at some point, so now he finds what the cause of it was, so now we're taking away that cause won't recur, but still, that's certain at some point she had this mum. She had a physical defect on her. Now, keep in mind that mumim, we're not talking about internal injuries or whatever. We said in the Mishnah that any mum that's passed a koyan is considered also a mum as far as a woman.
But when a mum is considered similar to a sickness.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily. It could be a sickness, but it could just be some kind of some kind of physical defect. But whatever, it doesn't matter. The point is, the doctor is now, even if he finds the reason, even if he finds the ultimate cause of it, still, the fact is, until now, she had this mum, and now she doesn't anymore. But that's a change as of now. An interesting point, actually, that Rebbe used to point out a number of times in Sichos, it's different when it comes to Hashem healing a person. When we say, Ani Hashem, when we say, Ani Hashem Reifecha, when Hashem takes away the illness, it's as if it never existed. Like the way the Chacham takes away the Neder, and that has implications as far as Tshuva as well. Tshuva is compared to healing. So therefore, when a person is healed through tshuva, then also it's considered as though they never were a chote in the first place. One interesting point that comes up in this connection that Mishonim bring, the question is: so let's say, for example, that what are we saying that if she was matir the neder, then we're saying the kedushin are valid. So don't you have the concern that if we say, so let's say, for example, he was Makadisher having in mind that he was Makadisher al-Manas that she doesn't have Nedarim. Now, later on, she went and was Matur Neder. And we're saying the Kedushin now end up being in effect after all. What if in between she went and married somebody else? What if in the end she accepted Kedushin from somebody else? Don't you have the problem that now the original Kedushin of Nemichal, and now she's going to be an Eishes Ish? So according to Tosfos, that there's a difference whether he knew about it or not, then there's less of an issue with that. Because again, we're saying once he knows that they were Nedarim, then still we're going to say the Chochem's Hataras Nedarim doesn't help. But if we don't say like Tosfos, so Rishonim bring from a Yerushalmi over here that says two possibilities. One is that in fact she does need a get regardless, just midrabanan, and that way there's no possibility of that she is in fact an Eishes Ish when she marries somebody else. The other possibility that they bring up is that what? I lost my train of thought over here. I'm sorry. So another understanding is that let me try to remember. I don't remember. The Yerushalmi gives another answer how this would work. I don't remember. I've lost my train of thought right now and I can't think what it was, but if I remember it later then I'll say it. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'hotanya etzol chacham v'hitira etzol roif v'bripa oisa enim kudeshes." Don't we have a brisa that says that whether she was mater neder or whether she went to a doctor, either way, enim kudeshes? So what are you telling me that there's a difference? So Tanur Rabbanan, we said we learn in a brisa that there's a difference, but then we have another brisa that says that there's no difference either way. Then either way, the Kiddushin are not valid because he made a tnai that she should not have such and such, and it turns out that she has such and such. So the answer is, Amar Rava, Loi Kasha Horab Meir Horab Elazar. The answer is, there's no contradiction because one's appointed a mayor and one's appointed a Elazar. One of these two brises is appointed a mayor and the other one is appointed a Elazar. We have on the side, by the way, it should be not Rava, but rather Rava, because Rava is going to give a different answer in the Gemara later. So one brisa that says that she's mekudeshes would be appointed a mayor. Da'amar odam roisich spaza ishte bebeistim. He says he doesn't. The mayor says that a man doesn't care. The other answer of the Yerushalmi, actually, I remember now. The other answer of the Yerushalmi was that, the other answer is the same as the Badali over here. The other answer is that, she herself, so one answer is she's in fact going to need a get. The other answer the Yerushalmi gives, which we're showing him bring over here, is that she herself, knowing that if she is Matu Neder, and then her original Kedushin of Chal, then she's going to be in trouble because now it turns out that her second marriage is invalid and any children from Inam Zerim, she herself is not going to go and be Matu those Nedarim in order not to create problems. So those are the two answers. One that she needs a get, and the other one that to begin with she herself wouldn't go and put herself in such a situation. Okay, so we had two brises, one of which says that if she was mater neder, then she is mekudesh, but if she was healed from her mumim, then she's not mekudesh, because the healing is only mekana la'ba, and the hataras nedarim is l'mafreya. And then the other brisa says that either way, ain't mekudesh. So Amar Rava, like Kasha, Harab Meir, Harab Elazar. Harab Meir, da'ama odam roitza, she's vaze ishte bebeistim. Rab Meir holds, a man doesn't mind if his wife goes to the Chacham to be Matan Neder, he doesn't care that she's getting, suffering a loss of dignity by going to Beis Din. So he doesn't care whether she goes to a Chacham. So she can be Mekudesh. It's fine. So he made a condition that she shouldn't have Nedarim. It turns out that she had Nedarim, but she went to a Chacham. Okay, Reb Meir doesn't care about that. He says the husband doesn't mind that his wife goes to the Chacham to be Matan Neder. So therefore, yes, that undoes the Neder and therefore the Kedushin are in effect. Horab Elazar, Dama Edom, and writes that she's Vazdej to the Beis Din. As opposed to Rabbi Elazar says, a man doesn't want his wife to have to go to Beis Din. So therefore, when he makes the tnai that she shouldn't have Nedarim, then it means that she shouldn't have Nedarim at all. And even if she has Nedarim, he's going to say the fact that she's able to go to Beis Din doesn't help because he doesn't really want to have her go to Beis Din at all. So therefore, we can say that the tnai was not fulfilled and therefore the Kedushin are not effective. So the Gemara says, Mayhi, where is this discussion elsewhere that we find that Rav Meir and Rav Elazar hold these respective ways? So Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah, we learned it back in Yeromus, the Mishnah itself is in Gittin, Hamotzias Ishte Mishum Neder, if a man divorces his wife because of a neder, so we don't mean one particular neder. It actually says choice and nadronis. She was regularly making the darim and not, and let's say, not fulfilling them. Where we said in our Mishnah that that's valid grounds for him to divorce her and for her to forfeit her ksuba. Previous Mishnah actually we said whatever lo yasir. So he's not allowed to ever remarry her. Now why not? The Gemara in Gittin brings two reasons why he should be also to be married. Let's say, for example, from now on, let's say, for example, things change and we see eventually that she's not Nadronis anymore. So now, is he allowed to be married her? He said no. And the Gemara in Gittin gives two reasons that she brings. Number one is because of Kilkel. What happens if he is allowed to be married her? So what happens? She might tackle go and get remarried in between. Then she's going to change her ways. She's going to stop making the darim. Her first husband is going to say, you know what? If I had known that was going to happen, I never would have divorced her. Well, then, in that case, we could say that the original divorce was invalid because he gave it, in effect, al tnai, and it turns out that there was no valid grounds for it. So, therefore, now it's going to mess up her second marriage. Now we're going to say that her second marriage was invalid and her children are mamzeir. So that's what, so therefore we tell him to begin with, when you divorce her, be aware that you're never going to be able to remarry her. So look, if you really love her, then don't be so quick to divorce her. Wait it out and see if you can get her to stop being such a nadronis. That's one reason the Gemara gives over there. The second reason is it's a kind of a knas to her, so that Jewish women shouldn't be careless with nadarim and with arayas. So therefore, once we see that she's careless with nadarim, then we allow him to divorce her, and we tell him we can never remarry her, and that way maybe that itself will scare her straight, realizing that, you know what, I may end up getting divorced and never be able to remarry my first husband, and therefore let me be careful about it in the first place. So that was Mishum Neder Layaksir, Mishum Shemra Layaksir. Similarly, if he divorces her because of Shemra, because there are rumors going around about that she's Mizana, then also Layaksir, that he's also not allowed to remarry her afterwards for the same two reasons. Either because afterwards, if it turns out the rumors were false, he may say, you know what, then I never would have divorced her, and then it turns out that he's messing up her second marriage, or because to begin with it's a knas, so that Jewish women shouldn't be careless with such things. Anyway, that's the Mishnah says that lo yaksir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, as far as the neder, it depends. Kol neder she yodu boi rabim lo yaksir. Only if it was a neder that the rabim knew about it, where then, according to Rabbi Yehuda's shita, you can't be matter such a neder. And we're going to see soon in the Gemara what rabim means for this purpose. Lo yaksir. Then, if he does that, he's not allowed to remarry her. Lo yodu bo rabim yaksir. But if many people did not know of the neder, she didn't do it, she didn't make the neder in front of rabim, then he'd be allowed to remarry her because such a neder could have asara. And the Mishnah continues. Rav Meir Omer kol neder shetzarach chakiras chacham lo yaksir. Rav Meir says any neder that needs a chacham to investigate it. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says it's not the kind of neder that the husband himself can cancel. We said that the husband can cancel nidre inri nefesh or dvarim shebeina levena, but here this type of neder is neither. So therefore, you actually need a chacham in order to deal with it. So the Meir says lo yaksir. Then, if he divorces her because of that, then he can't remarry her. If it doesn't require chakiras chacham, meaning the husband himself can be made for it, then he could remarry her, because then he himself, if he chose not to be made for the neder, then he's not going to have the option afterwards of saying, you know what, if I realized, I never would have divorced her. Another possibility of enif sarach chakiras chacham, by the way, before she mentioned, is there are certain kinds of nedarim. We're going to learn about masech nedarim, like nedarim of exaggeration and other such things that you don't need a Tartus Nadarim for in the first place. Anyway, the point is, and then the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Echad Tzarech, Echad Einat Tzarech, Lo Yaksir. Rabbi Elazar says either way, whether it needs Chakiras Chacham or not, then once he divorces her because of that, he can't remarry her because of the reasons that we said. And Omer Rabbi Elazar, Lo Yaksir Tzarech, Elam Pnesha Einat Tzarech. And Rabbi Elazar says, you should know, why did the Chachamim say that in the case of Tzarech Chakiras Chacham, that she should be also to be married him? Only because There are the ones that ain't it tzarech, where you don't need chakiras chacham. So in other words, once we say by one of them, that it's, that's a valid reason for them to get divorced and for them to not get remarried because we don't want him to say, if I had known differently, I would have never divorced her. We can't do that because Rabbi Elazar is saying he doesn't want shetis bazi ish to be based in. So he doesn't, so in other words, he's saying like this. So therefore, the ones that require, it's not a matter of whether she can go to a Beis Din and be matir neder or not. Either way, Rabbi Elazar is going to say that neder, if he divorces her because of that, makes her also to him. And he's saying that he could always claim, even with a neder that doesn't need hakiras chacham, he could falsely claim that I didn't know that I'm able to be made for it. So therefore, the chacham made a zera across the board that all nedarim. Then all nedarim, the same rules are going to apply. So now the point is that we see that Rabbi Elazar is saying Einanim Rotsa Shitzbaze Ishtu Bebeistin, whereas the mayor seems to not have a problem with that because he distinguishes between Chakiras Chacham and not. And that the Gemara is going to explain that in a few lines. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say there's a difference whether the neder is Bifnei Rabbim or not? You have the pasuk by the case of the Givonim over there. So the Givonim misled the Jewish people into thinking that they were a faraway nation and that the Jewish people should make a peace treaty with them. When they found out that that's false, and the Givonim are from the seven nations, the pasuk says, "V'lohikum b'nei Yisrael." The Jewish people did not kill them. Ki nishvu lahem nesiyah ha'eda, because the nesiyim of the congregation had made a shvuah to them. And therefore, sort of Yehuda understands that means lahalacha, they weren't allowed to break their shvua because they had done it with Nei Rabbim. So v'kama Rabbim, so how much is Rabbim for that purpose? Rav Nachman Reitzchok Amar Shloisha. Rav Nachman Reitzchok says it means three. The same way as we find by a nida, by a zava, yomim shnayim, Rabbim Shloisha. By a zava, there's the expression in the pasuk that if she has a flow of blood, yomim rabim, and we say the word yomim by itself means two, because it's plural, and the word rabim means the third day, the same way over here, when Rabbi Yehuda is using the word rabim, then it means as long as it was in front of at least three. Rabbi Yitzchok Amar Asara, and Rabbi Yitzchok says it means you would need 10, because Eda Ksibu, because the expression was Nasiyah Eda, and we know that Eda always means 10, like you have on Masava Eda Hara Azois, the 10 bad miraglim, from there we learn that you need 10 for a minion. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if it was Bifnei Asara, then you can't be matter the neder. Whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda or not about that, there's different opinions among the Rishonim. The accepted halacha seems to be that a neder that was done Bifnei Rabbim, though you still could be matter, only if it was done Abdas Rabbim, only if it was based on the Das of Rabbim, then you can't be matter unless it's with Rabbim. Anyway, so that explains Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But the point is, we said Rabbi Meir. So now let's focus on Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. We said Rabbi Meir emakol neder shetzarech chakiras chacham layasid. Rabbi Meir says if she had made a neder where afterwards it requires chakiras chacham, at the time where he has to go to a Beis Din to be matir, then if he divorces her because of that, then he can't bring her back later, because then we tell him, because then we don't want him to claim later that if I had known she could be matir neder, then I wouldn't have divorced, if I had known she would be matir neder, then I wouldn't have divorced her, and then therefore he's messing up her second marriage. But if he himself could have been made for it, then Rav Meir says that doesn't apply, because he himself could have. And Rav Elazar, and the lawyer also started, and Rav Elazar says it doesn't matter, either one is only usher. Even the one that's tzarech, that requires a Beis Din, is only also because it might be confused with Einet Tzarech, because in other words, he could always claim, even with Einet Tzarech, he could always claim that I didn't know I could be made for the Neder. So Bamai commits me. So what's the underlying machlokas? Rav Meir Saba, Adam Rotsa, Shitzbazi, Ishtu the Beis Din. Rav Elazar Saba, Einanam Rotsa, Shitzbazi, Ishtu the Beis Din. So that would be the machlokas. Rav Meir says a man doesn't mind if his wife is humiliated by going to Beis Din to be matir Neder. So therefore, he would say that if there's a neder where Chacham needs to be matir neder, then he could have said that if I had known that she would do that, then I never would have divorced her. Therefore, when he divorces her, we make him make a tnai that he's never going to be, we make him accept Bifnei Rabin, or Das Rabin, whatever, that he's never going to remarry her. And that way, there's no possibility of him saying such a thing later and messing up her second marriage. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says that a man doesn't want Shitzbazi Ishtu the Beis Din. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar says it doesn't matter either way. Either way, it is not necessary to distinguish whether it's sort of chakiras chacham or not. Either way, he's going to have to make that promise, and therefore, and he's going to, and if he divorces her because of that, so therefore, so we see that Rav Meir and Rav Elazar have that machlokas, and therefore, that can apply to the braisas that we brought before. Again, when we have one braisa that said that if the chacham is matter the neder, then the kedushin are in effect, and another one that says that not, that would depend on this machlokas of Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with another way of understanding the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar. Or another way of understanding the machlokas between the two braises. We'll deal more with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.